Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Peace, family. It's 19 Keys with the 19 Keys podcast. You're listening to a high-level conversation. Tap in. All right, a word from one of our sponsors. Make sure you tap into Goldwater Products. After you come listen to the information, you're going to need your memory stimulated so you can download everything in that prefrontal cortex. You want to make sure that hippocampus area of your brain that regulates mood, memory, and learning is fully functional and tapped in. Therefore, you want to tap into Goldwater. They have smart moss, sports moss, vitamin C moss, colloidal silver. They have just about everything that you, your child, and your whole entire family needs to stimulate your brain and your body and to make sure that your immune system is functioning. Before you tap into this great high-level conversation, listen to this song by Tezu Kulando called Goldwater. Peace, family. This is 19 Keys. That's 19 Keys with Electrical Thought Patterns and Conversations. You know, we have a special episode for you today. I have a special guest. He came from Pretty Ricky to a spectacular result. You're going to find out his story, the influencer marketing he's doing, how he didn't make money as an entertainer, but now he's making millions as an entrepreneur. Tap into this story, take in some keys, and stay tapped into the 19 Keys Electrical Thought Patterns and Conversations. Peace. Enjoy.
I don't see it. These first three months be telling everything. I feel like you do start off strong right now. By the time you get to spring, it's smooth selling. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I don't know. It's interesting. I hate the idea of like the cliche, and it's like it feels different. But I mean, I guess it's just internally with myself. You just feel how it's going to be a different route that's taking different relationships for me. You know what I mean? The ways that I went about last year doing shit, I'm not doing that this year. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think but that might just be me knowing my own value, just becoming a little wiser, smarter.
The way you move.
Yeah, and getting out of the utopian idea of making everything work and just do what's effective. You know what I mean?
That's how you do it. Analyze, adjust, and re-execute.
Well, you might have to move that chair. You're trying to get it right because not everybody's being seen in the audience camera.
How'd that look?
All right, the table is clear. All right, well, y'all already rolling.
All right. Hold on. Your head is in the way. So, no, the dress was hitting them like that. All right, there you go. All right, peace, family. It's 19 Keys with 19 Keys, the podcast, Electrical Thought Patterns and Conversations. If you mind moving, actually, just move over a little bit. You got to screw down. Yeah. You're blocking my man Chang, so you can't shine. I don't want to disrupt my man shine like that.
Try.
All right, that's cool right there.
Peace, family. It's 19 Keys, the podcast. That's 19 Keys with electrical thought patterns and conversations. Today, I have an amazing, special guest today. No need really to introduce the brother, but for those who don't know, he goes by Spectacular.
Thanks for having me, bro.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Man, it's long overdue. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I meet a lot of different people, but sometimes you meet people and the energy just connect genuine mm-hmm. to where it's not like you're overdoing it. Yeah. You know, in Hollywood or here in LA, I put two people in two categories. You either acting or you action. You know what I'm saying? So it's either I believe you or I don't. That's just it. You know what I mean? I have like zero expectations for like at all. So people always surpass my expectations because I don't have none for them.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I don't know what it is about you. I think it's just certain spirits that you meet that just genuineness. You know what I mean? No reason to just be capping. It's just like, nah, if I talk to you, it's because we can actually build something. Mm. If nothing is built, then it's just lost potential.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I wanted to talk to you about, my podcast is kind of unorthodox. I like to have just real conversations with people. Mm-hmm. You know, I know you started off as an artist, and I got a funny story about that, that you don't even know. One day, my father had a security company out in the Bay Area. And I remember I was doing security for him, and one day it was y'all concert. Mm. And I was backstage, and we kind of bumped shoulders. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I'm like, damn, these dudes are shorter in real life. Right. But it's when, like, it was at the height of everything. And I had forgot about that until recently. You know, we have the Telegram group, and I was just like, damn, that's crazy how things come full circle. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, if we would have met back then, that's two completely different people than us meeting now as grown men on totally different platforms.
Yeah.
So I just think about synchronicity and all things and just the people that you meet. That's kind of like the reason should always be nice to people. But you started off, you know, as an artist and you're making your way as an entrepreneur. How did that transition begin?
Shit, it all started from elementary school. Mm. You know, getting that brochure and seeing everything on that brochure, knowing that I can get a bike or I can get these prizes. And I went home and seeing my mom selling Avon crystals. Mm. So when I seen those candies and those candy bars, chocolate bars, I was like, yo, third grade. I'm like, yo, I can do this.
Yeah.
So I went door to door. I had my mom help me. I had the people around the neighborhood help me. I had everybody help me. I'm trying to get a prize.
Yeah.
I went and brought back $5,000, trying to bring back the prize. They gave me like a bubblegum beeper and a yo-yo.
What prize is better than the $5,000?
And exactly. And that's when I realized that. I was like, you know what? I'm a kid, but I know I just got robbed.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
you know,
I just opened back up shop. I said, yo, I got y'all this second time around.
Yeah.
You know, I was a kid back then. I wouldn't do this now. Yeah. But, you know, I took that money and I opened up shop my own candy store.
I remember them competitions.
So I started from there and like start selling candy for my own. I took the school money and I would invest in my own candy, right? And start selling that, but got in trouble and stuff for selling the candy in school, cutting them out, you know. And then I realized that as I got older, when I became a sixth grader, it was like the same situation now. Kids was hungry in school, talking about how they was hungry. They couldn't wait for lunch. So I see the opportunity. It was a problem. Mm-hmm. Every successful business is solving a direct problem. Mm-hmm. So I felt like at that point of time, I was like, well, shit, I can go get some candy and then I can help solve that problem. Right. So now I became the candy man. Mm. So by the time I got the third period, and it was seven periods in Miami for middle school, I was sold out of candy. Yeah. So I was like, man, I need to do more, because by the time I got the third period, everybody kept begging me, Spec, you say you was going to be bringing candy? I was like, bro, I'm sold out. I don't know what to do. So you know what? Light bulb hit me. I was like, you know what I could do? I'm going to ask around and see who can help me.
Mm.
So I got 10 people to agree to help me sell candy. I sold $45 bags of candy every day. I brought $25 bags for each person. I had to meet me at the beginning of the school on the side of the building. Mm-hmm. I dropped them off all the bags of candy. Said, I'll give you $20 a week.
Mm.
That was big back then. You're in sixth grade, seventh grade. You get the chicken wings. You get the jungle juice.
Yeah.
You know, you good. So I was like, all right, cool. So I got them to start selling. I said, listen, I start seeing, you know, it wasn't really an incentive for them. So I created an incentive. So like, you sell out more than three times in 1 week, I throw you an extra $5. Mm. So by the time I was
So you had employees.
I knew nothing about this. Me looking back now, I had employees, I had bonuses, I had incentives, I had payroll, right? And then I realized that after doing it for a few weeks, you know, 3-4 weeks, I was at 1500, 2 grand a week. You know, I'm 13, 12 years old. Mm. Bought my first car at 14. Mm. And, you know, kind of had to stop again because getting away in the grades and everything like that. School was always boring to me. I never really paid attention in school because I just felt like it was nothing for me to really do. My mom had a 6th grade education. She couldn't help me with no homework. Yeah. Shit was difficult.
Yeah.
You know, my mom was struggling. She was, you know, we were poor as hell and trying to make it from project to project, stealing lights, stealing cable, trying to make it happen. Cloverleaf Projects in Miami, 450 square foot home, just trying to make that shit happen with 4 siblings total, including me. And from that point, you know, I transitioned to, all right, cool, making the money. There was a time my mom was crying one day, like boohoo crying. I'm like, yo, mom, what's going on? And she was like, you know, we gonna get kicked out again. I told her, hold on, I got you. Came back, 1500, trip, mom. She cried again. I said, man, I ain't got no more. What you crying for? She like,
I'm you just, and I should be crying. You know?
She like, man, she was just, it was a tears of joy. You know, I helped out. You know, a lot of times the light bill was gonna get cut off. I helped out, you know. I'm in sixth grade. So just took that, had to pretty much fall back on that. Got kept getting caught. Principal come, I got some of your workers. They put them in detention. It was eating my candy up. That's when I realized family wasn't good to work
with. They start unionizing again.
My brother started eating my candy, my inventory up, you know. So it became a difficult situation.
Yeah.
So then transition from that to my father came in and made me move with him. You know, came, I had my Honey Baked outfit on. That was going to be my first job ever. My mom was a manager at Honey Baked Ham. I got ready, tight pants on, ankle showing and all. I ain't give a damn. I was going to work.
Yeah.
So I was just like, all right, cool. As soon as I was walking out that
And this was what age is it?
I was in middle school.
Middle school.
This was 6th, 7th grade.
Okay.
No. This is 9th grade. Yeah, this is 9th grade. Okay. Yeah, I was with my moms for like all the way up to like 9th grade. And then my dad pulled up on me in the Lexus. Earth jumped out like, yo, you coming with me? I ain't coming with you. He was crazy. Drill sergeant. Right? Yeah. My mom, she let me do whatever the hell I want to do. All I can't do is bring girls to the house.
Right.
But, you know, she leave his own. Yeah. But at the same time, she was like, all right, well, you choose. You going to let me choose? My dad said, let him choose who you want to go with. Then you asking me? I walk back in the house.
Yeah.
What you mean what I got? He's like, yo, if you don't get your ass back out there. So he forced me to get back in the car. And like, that was really one of the best decisions I made. Like at that point, I was getting into guns and like, you know, then now candy started turning into drugs and, you know, a little weed here and there, pounds and little ounces and all that. But it was all play money. Right. I was better off with the candy.
Yeah.
So I kind of left that alone and, you know, you start getting into somebody trying to run off and like all that extra stuff. So I really want to deal with that. So I started going down that lane, but my father hit me right when I was making that turn.
Mm.
So when he pulled me under his wing, he kind of like, my brothers was rapping and everything. It was like, man, get in the group with your brothers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back then it was.
And that's dope because you don't really get that kind of encouragement.
Yeah. Like one thing I would say about my father, like I don't agree with everything he did, but one thing he taught me was loyalty. Your word is everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make sure you take care of the people that's around you. Another thing is like how to hustle. You know, make sure that you ain't gambling when you gambling, right? You know for sure if you betting, you know 75-80% chance you're gonna win.
Right.
Anything less than that, you gambling.
Yeah.
So I actually learned a huge lesson when I was at that 13-year-old age. I lost all my car money.
Mm.
Like I said, I bought a car at 14, but before that, I had all my money ready to go buy my car. My dad had a little gambling house or whatever, went there rolling dice. I mean, I was out there, like, just as a kid, rolling dice. I got rope for every last dollar. Dude named Hatchet. Took every last
you
penny.
You know he got you when you remember that one name, because he was chopping you down.
He chopped me down.
Yeah.
So he didn't know who I was. He just thought I was a kid with a bunch of money in my pocket, right? Because back then, you were from the hood, like, you carry all your money on you. So I got rope for every dollar. And then he found out, he was like, oh, Blue, this your son? He felt bad trying to give me the money. My dad like, yo, don't give him bad nothing. You know, let him learn. So when he left, Hatcher told me what he did.
Yeah.
He's like, this is what I did to you.
taught me the game. Mm. So a nigga can't do it on me now because I know the game.
Right.
So he done taught me the game.
So you paid for that lesson.
Paid for the lesson. Yeah. But what that did for me, not only it taught me how to hustle, it also taught me how to peep game, and it also taught me not to gamble. Mm. I don't gamble my money. I don't hit casinos. I don't do nothing. If I play you in some cards, I play you in pool, I play you in dice, oh, you gonna lose.
Right.
It's no gamble.
Yeah.
Because I know all the tricks because you know, I got brought up in that.
You can't con an honest man.
Right. You know exactly. I mean?
It's only if somebody looking for something quick that's exactly. The only way you can get caught up in that shit.
I'm going to give you a prime example. We was on a millennial tour, right? And I'm fast forward, but I'm going to rewind it back after I fast forward. We chilling. I'm just chilling. You know, one thing about my dad, my mom say no girls in the house. My dad, all girls in the house. You can't go out.
Yeah.
You know, he had a gym in the back, and he had a pool table.
Bachelor maxed out pad.
That's all it was. You can do whatever you want. That's why we ended up making sex music, because that's all we was doing, was hammering them all day. That's all it was. So
you got to blame Pop setup for influencing 1,000%. Some of
you couldn't go out nowhere. All you could do is bring girls back to the house. Okay. So we had girls spending the night, 14, 15, I don't know what they mom was thinking. Yeah. But it was just like, let's go with the money at.
Yeah.
You know, we had brand new Jaguars, Lexus. We was boys. So just to fast forward, so now I'm in a millennial tour, right? Jump in the time machine, go forward. We minding my business. Me and my brother, like, we just chilling. Me and Baby Blue. Dude, just straight walk up to us, the drummer from B2K Band. What's up? Y'all playing for money?
Mm-hmm.
Man, my brother looked at each other. We like, come on. Why you going to do this to yourself? Yeah. We like, all right, let's go. You want to play? I mean, I don't know how to play much, you know, but if you going to go ahead and show me, I'll take the lesson. By the time we finished, he was selling the LOD, letter of direction, for his next paycheck.
Yeah.
I took every dollar from him. And I was just the manager. My brother was the one that playing. If I would have played him, I would have killed him.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. I wasn't even looking for it. It came to me.
Yeah.
You know, so don't go out looking for trouble, because that's what he found. He found his next paycheck was in my pocket. And I had a letter of direction on hand. Mm. I had made him sign it digitally right on my phone. His boss paid me.
You know what I learned? It's like when you go to Vegas, right? The reason people gamble is not to make money. They gamble because of the feeling that they get.
That rush.
Yeah, I mean, that rush. That's what they chasing. I want to feel like that consistently. So gamblers, that's why it's so addictive, because they just chasing the dopamine. They don't really want the reward.
Yeah, and that ain't me.
Yeah.
I get mad. I was just talking. I was in a meeting before this. I get mad if I lose $10. Yeah. I'm hot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what that $10 went? Like, I know I had it. I'm hot. I want to lose not
Do
one
Do you think
penny.
That's a characteristic of wealthy people? Well, I know I got some partners that got millions, and they always trying to sell me stuff. Always trying to sell me stuff. I'm like, give it to me for free, man. You know what I'm saying?
But listen,
give me small stuff too. This $50, bro. You just show me your watch, like, yo.
But listen, people that pay attention.
Yeah.
Russell Brunson taught me that.
Yeah.
They get it to you for free, you're gonna appreciate it.
True story.
You know, and that's why people hear game and they might be listening to the podcast. They might even implement what they're hearing. They just listening for the conversation just to be nosy.
True.
They're not implementing.
I call that conscious junk food.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I hear that.
It's like vegans. You know what I mean? They don't eat meat, but some of the food they eat is still junk food. It's vegan junk food.
Mm.
It's not particularly bad for you, but it's not particularly good for you.
Right.
So we're a society that's just like to consume.
Yeah.
You understand? I mean, we get addicted to the process of consumption.
Yep.
But we don't do anything with the information. We just really just make it junk food. Because when you eat certain food, it doesn't have the information in it for your body to process it and turn it into something healthy for you.
Yep.
So I want to get to this. So there's phases that successful people go through. You go through the build phase, the maintain, and the advance phase.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say you build something up, you get to a point in life where now I need to maintain what I've built.
Mm.
And then you get to a point where you got to create bigger goals on this and you're ready to advance it. Where do you think you at with what you're doing with your company? Are you in the build, the maintain, or the advance?
I'm in all stages.
Mm. In different areas.
Yeah, because my company has different departments, you know, and each one is being innovative.
Yeah.
Like right now, I just came from a meeting and I was just talking about I would never get into any business that's not scalable.
Mm.
Never. I started my agency. I started off with a partnerships with celebrities.
Yeah.
That was a scalable model because it don't matter who you are. I can take it. I can scale up your brand. I can help you advertise. Facebook changed one thing, took my revenue down by 80%. It left me scrambling, trying to read every book I could read, hire every coach, get every mentor, read every book, take every program. I was doing it all just to try to scramble, just to, so my company don't flatline, because I see everybody going out of business. And I was like, I'm be damned if I go out of business. So I started seeing it coming ahead and start pivoting. So just off of being in those type of situations, I know for sure I don't never want to be in those situations again. So once I pivoted to a service-based business, which was a horrible idea, but at the same time, it was good to experience, because you have to learn how to sell. You got to learn how to make customers happy. And that's what a service-based business is. But the point is, they're never happy. Never happy. I don't give a damn. They're like, I don't care for them. If I'm making $1 million, the grass is always greener on the other side. Like, why is that? Why I can't keep a customer for 10 years?
It's a relationship. It's like in a relationship, you can give a person the world, but you still have to keep giving them the world. Like in a relationship with the customers, you have to continue to maintain it so that they keep that same feeling. Otherwise, you stop doing something for them. It's like the hospitality model where you're constantly checking up on your customer. I believe that's what, and I'm sure you could agree to it, that's what everybody has to do, is to get into that empathetic customer experience relationship. I don't want any customers anymore. I only want clients. You understand me? I don't want transactions. I want relationships. You know what I mean? Now, you spoke on something I think that was important, the pivot system. Now, a lot of people, they get into that area where they had that sink and they don't know how to pivot to the next thing. But as entrepreneurs, those people that know how to pivot, they keep wiggling. And nothing ever stop them.
I would have flatlined a long time ago. I'm probably on my third pivot for my business. Right? Each one was making millions, and I had to switch to something totally different.
But in your life, look how many pivots you made.
Yeah, you got to reinvent yourself at least three times.
I feel like they say, you know, people always ask you when you got started, but the start was really, it's like one lifelong connection. You know what I mean? Because when you talked about being a hustler at an early age, those habits, you know, become your identity later on. You know what I mean? And that's how you start to filter information and make decisions. The problem with it is that if you have poor parents, you're going to have poor parents' habits. You know what I mean? So if they were bad with money, even if you're good at getting money, it's going to be hard for you to keep the money. Because now you just have a poor person habits. So a person that had family that were built in wealth, their habits are used to dealing with money like a wealthy person would. So they can just keep getting money, keep getting money. And for me, like, I've been, you know, similar story with the hustling as a child, as they growing up. But I think that if people want to look at whether you're a real entrepreneur, you got to go back in your past to see if you were always an entrepreneur. You know what I mean? The difference between a hustle and a business, one just legit. You know what I mean? So the hustlers just learn how to actually do the paperwork on their business. So speak about that side, because now you have employees. You running a business. And for a lot of entrepreneurs, it's hard for them to manage themselves. You know what I mean? And when it comes to doing the paperwork and managing other people, that's the part where they like, you know what? I'd rather just do this by myself. If it falls, it only falls on me. So what made you want to get into a business where you're going to have to manage other people?
I want to rewind back on what you said about, you know, being a person who have parents that have poor, you know, poor work ethic or poorly managing money. I think a lot of that stuff is things that you do gain as a habit, but you got to be able to
deprogram, reprogram.
That's it. You know, figure out what's the issue and figure out what's the root of it and then attack it. And I think a lot of people just kick back on it like, yo, this is just me.
And people, that's the problem. It's just you.
It's just me. Right? But they, but they're not figuring out what is the issue. They're too busy pointing the finger. And that's what I see a lot. And that's what kind of like make me feel like I got to get out of here and try to help. You know, how can I help you see what your full potential is? I feel like God gave everybody a gift. God gave everybody something that the next person can't do, that they can capitalize and make a living off of and really go full force with that. But the average person decides to just waste their potential. Right? But just to fast forward back on what you were saying, even about wealthy people, some of the wealthy people take that shit for granted. And that's why a lot of really wealthy families, some of them fuck that money up. Right? So it go both ways. It go both ways.
It's not across the board, but if you just used to seeing money in a particular way, it's like a person that's a hustler. They don't even really think about it. All they have is just about getting money. You know what I mean?
I can see that.
A person, it's like if you give a child $10 and they go spend the $10, you're just teaching your child how to just lose money.
Yeah.
But if you give your child 10 and be like, all right, you can't spend this until you get 100. Now you're teaching them finances.
Right.
So now it's not, I'm not spending my money before I get it. And I'm not always thinking about something to spend my money on.
Yep.
So it's like those habits just get programmed into it to where you don't have to go reprogram those. Those are already good habits. And I always tell people, look at how much your habits work. You can check your bank account, see how good your habits are. When it comes to relationships, you can see how good your relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Your life is just a culmination of your habits. So
and that's why I don't smoke. That's why I don't drink. People ask me that. Why you don't smoke? Why you don't drink? I say it costs too much.
Yeah.
Some real
That's why I said most people can't afford to smoke.
It costs too much. Like, I hate losing $10. So imagine me just being high for 30 minutes and like that money gone to me. That ROI ain't there for me.
Yeah.
It ain't there. Same thing with gambling, same thing with smoking, same thing with drink, but that's just my opinion. I like to see people have fun. I like to see people enjoy themselves. So I'd be the person that might supply it. But for my own use, going to the club, you know, and going go spend $7,000, $10,000, like that don't do nothing for me because if you look at how many people are seeing it, right? You see I posted on social, the reach is not there for how much money you spent. It was a waste.
Right. But so you make calculated decisions. Other people, they make experiential decisions. They just want the experience. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I'm coming up with this new thing because I don't want to spend time with nobody in 2020. Mm-hmm. When I spend it, it's just going out. I don't get no return on it. I only want to invest time with people.
That's
I need
fact.
A return on all my energy, my time, my conversation, every single thing.
Yep.
I ain't spending time with nobody. If it's not an investment, we can't get it going.
No, that's a fact.
It's your liability.
That's a fact.
So, you know,
every decision I make and every relationship I build is an intentional relationship.
Mm.
And that's why I can come off genuine because I want to help you because I know it's going to be reciprocated.
Right.
Right. I already know that I'm not wasting my time.
Right.
And I'm not going to hit every single thing on the bullseye.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of been through so many situations, I can pick and choose who I know is going to be a hit or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm literally always right.
Right.
Right? On what I feel and like everything just aligned. And I know for sure that even if it's not reciprocated, I know that person is going to do what I just brung to the table and do something with it.
Right.
It's nothing like wasting a conversation. I'm wasting my breath because I just told you something and you acting like I don't know what I'm talking about.
Right.
Like I ain't got all these companies that I then took this same model and I multiplied and duplicated it.
So do you think it was hard to rebrand yourself from artist to businessman?
I would say,
you know, like people like to pigeonhole you.
But you know what? I never even thought about it.
Yeah.
Cause it always just been me.
Yeah.
It's just me broadcasting it now.
Right.
For the respect to be there.
Right.
Before I never even gave a damn.
But that's redesigning yourself.
That is redesigning myself, but at the same time, us as a culture, we hate on what we see.
Yeah.
Right? If I see your name on that, I'm going to hate on it.
Right.
When I first started my company, I put myself as the co-founder. I found a go into Google and found a random white man and put him as the CEO. Just because I wanted people to take me serious.
Yeah.
Right? Because when I first jumped out there, it's like, oh, this the dude from Pretty Ricky. This dude in the red drawers. This the dude. Whatever you wanted to stip, like say, this is me, put me in that box, like you said, you wasn't going to take me serious.
Yeah.
And then I got to the point where I was like, man, fuck that. And I switched my whole shit. CEO, let's talk. And
brand that's what perception I did. Is important.
Yeah.
You know, like you can tell a person what you are, but what other people perceive of you is your brand.
That's a fact.
You know what I mean? So in design creates interaction. So once you start putting different images out, and then of course, you know, I see Forbes magazine and other magazines, and then because those people respect those as like authorities, they take it from them. Those become your filters now, how people see you.
Absolutely.
So unfortunately, you can't just tell a person because they just saying, oh, he just marketing to me something.
Absolutely.
But once everybody else confirms it, so now I can't just, my interaction is, I can't come at you just like an artist. I'm going to come at you like a businessman.
You have to.
You understand
You have to. And especially when you have the conversation with me, it ain't no regular conversation.
Yeah.
I'm not having regular conversations.
Mm-hmm.
If you talking to me, either I'm teaching you something or you teaching me something, or we talking about money.
Yeah.
What is the next level?
Right.
I don't have time to have basic conversations.
Yeah.
I just don't have the
time. So what you consider to be a basic conversation?
I mean, like, talking about another person, like, oh, you see what hat he had gossip. On? That, like, gossip. Yeah. Like, that don't do nothing for
escapism.
Me. Like, I want to know what books you read.
Right.
What you just learned. What right. mistakes you just yeah. made that you just learned from. What just made you money.
Mm-hmm.
What you just lost money on. Right. What you investing in. Like, those the conversation I want to have. Not about Pookie and how he just got shot. Like, when I go back to the crib and I go to Miami, it just blow my mind because I'm hearing about who just got robbed. And I'm
they
automatically
can't help it,
I'm
it's
automatically
crazy.
Fall right back into that. Automatically, that's yeah. why it's good for everybody to get away from their comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
I support everyone to move from their hometown and get out of there
mm-hmm.
and go get refocused.
Yeah, you have to expand your brain. You have to expand
yes.
your mind.
Yes.
And I think that's an important, that's why I keep my passport on the table for no reason. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just so psychologically people can understand this is the first entry to going somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Go ahead and put that on the table. I thought, mm-hmm. But I think it's important. There's too many people that don't have passports.
We're gonna put it on
like,
the table.
People saying that, okay.
Inspiration.
Gold water. No, but it's a blessing though. When I started traveling, you know, people always thought that I was already, you know, traveled just because of the way I spoke and the way I perceived things. But they was like, yo, but when you actually go out the country, yo, it's gonna expand you, you're gonna see things differently. So I was just like, whatever.
Hmm.
But I got what they were saying when I actually got out there. It's one thing to have information on something, it's another thing to have knowledge on it. Knowledge is depth and experience because mm-hmm. it can convert into wisdom over time. So once I started traveling to different places, even when I was in the hood, one thing that I always practiced was going to odd places they wouldn't normally see me at.
Mm.
Because I wanted to be around different energies, reading different books they wouldn't normally think I would be interested in.
Yeah.
You understand me? Let me read something about Socrates or something, just so that in my mind, I know I'm formulating original thought processes. So if I have a conversation with somebody, they look at my design as young black man from the hood,
yeah.
and then I bring up Socrates, so now we just fucked up their whole...
It's took like, left field.
Now it forces them to see you different. Now yes. my design is different.
Yes.
So that was always a practice. And even now in marketing, you know, you got to keep people off tilt so that they constantly stay interested. It's yeah. like with a woman. Once you know exactly who you are, it's not the same as her being intrigued and there being layers and layers and layers and layers. Like yeah. it's depth to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess just in that thought process, you know what I mean? Do you consider yourself to be a businessman or artist or just both or just spec or... What do you want to go by? Who you want to be in the future?
I'm definitely a businessman.
Yeah.
You know, that's just what I do. Like, I was born for business. That's just what it is.
All right.
Everything I touch turn into gold because I put the homework in.
Yeah.
You know, I put the work in. I do the homework. And I put myself out front. You know, earlier you said something about being a solopreneur or running the team and having employees. Like, once you get in that zone, you can't do it yourself.
Right.
If I want to hit a status where Jay-Z at or even Diddy at, like, they got whole domains and compounds and, like,
yeah.
they got real employees,
yeah.
right? How you a boss between cutting no checks?
Yeah. You know, one of the most inspirational moments of 2020 for me, and I did a lot of stuff last year, but it was when I was sitting at the table at Derek Gray's house in Tampa, and they was all having a family meeting. And uncles, moms, stepmoms, baby moms, everybody was there, brothers. And the meeting was surrounding making sure that Derek's mind continues to pump out creative ideas
yes.
and everybody else creates that infrastructure around him.
Yep.
And he had told me, said, man, I want you to send a meeting because I was about to have one with my brother and sister who worked for me. And it was like, I want you to, you know, just see how we do it. And I was inspired. You know what I mean? Because everybody's family should do that. Like, there's somebody in everybody's family that everybody should just rally around.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that, like, you can't do your own thing, but this is how the family go get in position.
This, they call that the family CEO.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that's called.
And it's one in every family.
It's one in every family, but the problem is everybody got to be willing to follow suit.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have that too many chefs in the kitchen, can't nothing be cooked right.
Nope.
That's just what it is. So until everybody can fall in line, the family can't move the way it need to. Mm-hmm.
See,
because you're bumping heads at the top.
I learned how to just, now I'm at a point where I just hire you for your particular skill.
Yes,
you
that's what the rich people do.
Bro, you can do this, you in charge of this.
Yes.
You know what I mean? We can have our meetings on it, sis, you can do this, you in charge of this.
Yeah.
And it made it easier because what I realized is that for the longest, I've always wanted my family to support my business, but I didn't create a business that support my family.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And so when I did that, it changed the way I interact with the idea of doing business with my family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because now I can honestly say that, you know, you're getting paid from it. You can pay some rent with this and things of that nature. So just that infrastructure that I think a lot of people may be having trouble with as business owners, as entrepreneurs, don't expect your family to support shit. You know what I mean? I just feel like you should not have none of that expectations. Of course, your family should. And I think one of the biggest things right now is creating that family infrastructure, especially when things get kind of chaotic. Mm-hmm. That you, and family, to me, ain't just blood relatives. I'm talking about people you spend a daily with. You know what I mean? People that y'all should be reciprocating that kind of energy back and forth. That's family.
Yeah.
So it's like, if we raise hand and be like, are y'all doing business together? And y'all say no. Well, y'all go separately, go work for somebody else, and y'all come together and say y'all love each other. Mm. Why not just build together? Mm. You know what I mean? What's been your biggest challenge with, I mean, you know, you was in a group.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Still am. So how was that? You always say you want to get something done, do it yourself. You want to do more, get you a team. But working with a team, mm-hmm. that's one of the hardest things in the world.
Yeah.
Everybody got egos. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's where everything falters. And we always say, we work with the WeGo model. So instead of bragging about what I can do, we brag about what we can do together. And that's what we showcase and throw to the world. Like, look at that's what leadership. We did.
Yeah.
So how hard was it getting in with the team? And even now that you all are older, you know what I mean? Life changes. Mm-hmm. A lot of different conflicts happen. How can y'all still be mature and come together? You know what I mean? And get the bag. And how was it earlier just starting coming together? Like, was it ego dynamics or was it more fluent, like we all have an opportunity here?
Yeah, I think what for the whole Pretty Ricky brand, it was my father really running everything. Mm. Shit.
About to call you choking up thinking about it? No.
Some crabs I was just eating. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so with the whole Pretty Ricky brand, my father was the CEO of the company, of the label, and mm-hmm. he was the manager at the time. And he pretty much ran the ship, and my brother, Baby Blue, he was like, he was basically the right-hand man that was running everything. Me, I was just always in my own world. Like, yeah. I ain't care about rapping. I ain't want to rap. Like, they forced me to rap. Yeah. All I want to do is go on stage. I want the girls to scream, blow me, yell. Yeah. Oh, my God, stay. That's all I wanted. Mm-hmm. I ain't want to go in no studio or record no, yeah, lay on my back. I ain't want to do none of that shit. They forced me to do that, right? So I had to teach myself how to rap and all that stuff. So at that time, I just was in my own world. I let them do it. Y'all need me here. I'm here. Y'all need me to dance. Need me to take my shirt off, do some push-ups. I got you. I'll do that. Whatever you need me to do, I'm there. Yeah. So I was always in my own world. So like as I'm building meme pages and making money off of Twitter and like mm-hmm. Grumpy Cat, and I was still on stage.
Yeah.
But I was doing my own thing. I didn't care about all that, right? Lo and behold, I only got like 20 grand out of my whole career. Because my dad was running all the money. He made horrible business decisions. Mm. He was a great hustler. Yeah. But when it came down to them white boys in them suits, they chewed him up.
Yeah.
It's just a fact.
Yeah.
And then he didn't know how to invest the money because he didn't have this. When it came to educating himself, reading books and like getting mentors, he was like a street dude that had the common sense. But it's a level up.
Right.
It's that Jay-Z, that Diddy level. That they was street niggas. They was in the street, but they applied themselves. They got the knowledge and they applied it to, but he took what he knew and then it could only go so far. Mm. So that went dead. That just went flatline. Millions of dollars made. He was running all the money. I was living with my dad all the way to 28, just mm-hmm. trying to stay in the family, keep it. We gonna ride this shit till the wheels fall off. One day he got mad, keep me out of the house. No money. Broke. Dead broke. Knew nothing. So my dad was running the whole shit. My brother's running. Then at the time, once we went flat broke, shit hit the fan, went a lawsuit with the label, no money, got an argument, kicked me out of the house. I had to start over from scratch. Dead broke a few years ago. Like 5 years ago, I had $0 in my pocket. Made some great investments. Started on social media, shit I was already doing. Doubled down on that. Once I doubled down on that, millions later. You know, millions later, and then applied that, but just started learning more and more and more, you know? So I went from sleeping in my girl little bedroom she grew up in on the little bullshit-ass Windows computer.
Shout out to her.
And pumped up, you know, real talk,
Real for real.
And pumped up. In the first 6 months, I was at 100K from zero. Just off of just using my brain, turned that. When the other people like, listen, I can help you out. You already got the followers. Turn that, boom. Year later, million.
Yeah.
Year later, 2 million. Like that shit just kept building up. But as I'm building, I'm helping other people too. So I'm helping the artists go ahead and now they making 20 grand a month.
They making $60,000 a month. They making $40,000. This guy making $5,000, and I'm coming with the bag.
Right.
I'm like, yo, boom. I got $150,000 for you. What's up? $100,000. What's up, Akon? Akon shot me down. Boom. All right, whatever, nigga. All right, boom. Snoop, I got $150,000 for you. Ain't enough money left, dog. Boom. All right, fuck you. Everybody go with the white man. They fuck him over. They come back to me. Mm. Oh, now we want to talk.
Yeah.
That's how it been for me. So going through all that situations. Now we coming back tenfold, I realized that I have a skill set that everybody ain't got. Everybody ain't got 14 companies. You know, everybody ain't got multi-million dollar brands. Everybody ain't blow up different products. Everybody ain't do a lot of shit that I done did. So certain things I still fall back on, but certain times I just gotta step up and mm-hmm. just handle my business and just do what I gotta do, and then I fall back again because I really don't want to leave. I got too much shit going on. I got too many companies, and my staff can only handle so much shit.
Right.
So for me to be in this, I got to make sure one is worth it. But to me, it's semi-worth it because I know the potential. But mm-hmm. at this time, it's really not where it's supposed to be. But I know it has to build. So I have to go through this grimy, like, you know, getting your hands back dirty, starting here to get here to get here to get here. Like, first tour, not the second tour. We're double of what we was getting paid the first tour. Mm-hmm. But we sacrificed the first tour. You know, we gave them a hell of a show. Now, next time, boom. Next time, another one up. Boom. Drop a single. And that's right. Just start building, building, building. So, long story short, the team is there. Everybody know their strong point. You know, everybody knows who's great at making the music. I jump in on making the music when I need to, but that's not my expertise. You know, the aspect of the choreography, the dance with the stage show, that's all me.
Okay.
You know, Baby Blue, he's like the guy who's the thinker behind the group, who's going to think of what should we do, like connect the dots. And then I'm the relationship builder. I bring the money to the table. I bring the investors to the table. We got to get lines of credit, build right. whatever we need to do business-wise. I can bring that shit to the table, and I can execute on it. You want to come up with a deal? I can renegotiate this. We can all put our brains together. Boom. So everybody know what their skill set is. Slick, he get high with all the goddamn highies. You know, he go and get some right. drink, do drugs with him. Yeah. Like, that's his position. So everybody need their Dennis Rodman in the group. So that's who he is. So everybody play that role, bro. And,
okay.
and it's just building from the ground up, like Pretty Ricky, what we was a few years ago. You know, I was doing my thing. We got a chance to bring this shit back. Now we back building up. We was going viral every damn day. We was mm-hmm. trending number one on yeah. Facebook, on Instagram. Like, that shit on Twitter. Like, shit is viral, blowing up Shade Room. Like, that shit start building. Yeah. So I got to take heed to that and see, like, yo, this going to be another multi-million dollar business again. Like, right. we just came out.
Which is
first
dope.
Time, we never even got no money from this shit.
Well, you know, Euphoria sells.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like... Well, when you think about all of the brands that's having like a big comeback right now, it's because they were there for generation. Well, I don't even know all these different generations, but the millennial generation, especially in the 90s, those things are now what adults with money want to participate
absolutely.
In. That's especially why Friends is making so much money on
back
Netflix
then.
And all of this stuff that's coming back.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So that's a dope benefit that. When you have, and I think that that's something that people can look at in business is that, you know, some of the investments that you're doing right now may be worth more later on.
Oh, it's definitely you know going to be worth more.
Yeah.
Everything that I did 3 years ago is paying off now.
Yeah.
The relationships I built from 3-4 years ago is paying off now.
Yeah.
It's my, even mentors, high network people, they just like, yo, Spec, we ain't make no money together yeah. yet. I'm not going to throw you no situation that ain't gonna be lucrative.
Right.
I could hustle and just keep throwing you situations, but if it ain't gonna be like, if I can throw you a mediocre ass situation and then you make a couple of dollars off of you, like, ah, Spec ain't shit. Like, he brought me some shit, but like, what the hell was
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
You know, but I'm bringing you stuff, but you're gonna judge me based on what I just brung you. Or I can wait for the right moment. It took me 4 years to bring one thing to the table to one of my mentors.
Mm.
4 years of him asking me every time, what we doing, Spec? What we doing? What we doing, Spec? Nah, chill. I got
right.
this. 4 years. Just got to make, you can't jump at everything. You can't hit every ball that get thrown to you.
Patience is a big thing.
Patience.
My uncle, I didn't get it when I was younger. My uncle used to always tell me that because he get government contracts and things of that nature. And he'd be like, man, see, y'all problem is y'all want all this fast money. You
right.
know what I mean? And then he used to tell me, y'all got to think 5-10 years ahead.
Yes.
But it was just in a concept at the time I couldn't get
mentally
because I'm just in a hustle.
Yeah.
It just, I get what he was saying, but it couldn't take.
Yep.
I wasn't in the space. The soil in my brain wasn't fertile to take them seeds.
Mm-hmm.
But once it switched and I was like, now I'm at this point where I can plan something for the next 3 years, 5 years, and be good because I like the journey of it all. I'm excited about the day-to-day, see if I'm going to become that kind of person to actually complete that goal. Mm-hmm. If I make a goal that's bigger than my current accomplishment, then I have to become the person necessary in order to accomplish that. So I'm excited in the mode of becoming. Because once I do it, I'll be like, ooh, you something new now. Mm-hmm. I enjoy evolution. Yes. You know what I'm saying? What's your greatest piece of advice for entrepreneurs for 2020 and for this year? That something that they should be doing is just looking up.
I mean, honestly, it's just educating themselves.
Yeah.
Like, always learn. Always be learning. Grow mentally, spiritually, financially. Everything's growth. Like, that's the key word, growth. Mm-hmm. No matter what you got to do to get the knowledge.
Right.
No matter what you got to do. If you got to work for free for somebody, I don't give a damn. I'll work for you. I carry your bags. Mm-hmm. I carry Elon Musk bags right now. Mm-hmm. No shame. Mm-hmm. I wake up. I sleep on his float. Mm-hmm. Teach me the game. I just want to be in your. I just want to hear your conversations.
Right.
And I got millions. Like, I don't give a damn. Like, you was a multi-billionaire. What you need from me, sir? Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. You need me to go get your food? You need me to go wash your clothes? What you need me to do? Because it ain't about, like, I can humble myself. I know the value. A lot of people don't see the value even if it's in front of them. Some of the people will be around you and take your relationship for granted. Mm-hmm. That's what they do. They get comfortable.
People too close to the light get blinded by it.
And every time.
You know what I'm talking about?
Every time. And I got to even reset in my mind.
Right.
When I'm around certain individuals, especially that's on, like, next level billionaires and everything.
Forget to get, like, used to them.
I don't want to. I make sure I remind myself, oh, nigga, this is Master P.
Yeah.
Nigga, this is Diddy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not getting comfortable.
Right.
This is Jeff Hoffman. Like, like, this is the co-founder of Priceline. Like, I'm on the phone with him now. We eating dinner. Like, I make sure I don't get comfortable.
Man, that's a powerful key for everybody. Like, everybody can look at people that's in their circle right now. Mm-hmm. It can just be a regular friend. Yeah. You don't even know he got an intelligence that you could be utilizing. You're supposed to be bowing down
to. For granted.
So y'all can build.
Yes.
But in your circle, it's so important. I left Oakland for that reason because I'm like, y'all don't get who I am now.
Get it.
So I told the homies, I said, look, I'm going to leave. I'm going to travel around the world. I'm going to create a brand. So when I come back, I'm more valued. Mm. I did it. It came back full circle. So now, of course, the value is there. I redesigned my value in their eyes by first showing them how the rest of the world perceived me. So those become the filters of how you perceive me.
Yep.
You understand me?
Another lens on.
So I think everybody should go through their contact list and just think about, or just redesign the way you deal with your friends and your family. Like, yo, everybody has something they can teach you.
Yes.
And be intentful and saying that, no, I'm going to listen to bro like he a whole master. You feel me? That changes the relationship you have with each other because it's a different level of respect.
Yes.
Then a person start bringing out those things of value that they actually do have.
Yeah.
Because with family and friends, you're not having those conversations where they trying to get you game sometime. Y'all having bullshit escapism, talk about sports or whatever. But the stuff that make them money, they not always going to talk to you.
Oh, they don't even want to hear that shit. Some people don't even want to come around me. They were like, Speck, I always want to talk business, man. Like, they don't even want to hear that shit. They just like, yo, I don't want to. Speck, not today, bro. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to hear that shit. They're just not ready for it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to be ready for it. It's just not the time for you yet.
Right.
It's not your time yet for you to understand this shit. So it has to come a point in time where it's like, all right, now I'm ready to take what you got to say. But I could automatically know if somebody is taking in what I'm saying to them.
Yeah.
So if not, then I just don't have those conversations. Mm-hmm. Like, I just be quiet. I don't say nothing. So people be like, I ask people, like, do you think I'm an introvert or an extrovert? I done heard introvert. I done heard extrovert. I done heard mixed. Like, because it's dependent on the environment.
Yeah.
What is the conversation? I ain't got nothing to say to you.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
Yeah, I could be in deep observation mode, man. So I can start off extroverted, excited. Then when I get in here, I'm like, ain't no value in this room. Let me just observe and chill.
Right.
I don't have it in me to just waste words. Mm. And people want to grab onto your energy, of course. You know, you're a public figure. So you understand that, yes, people want to grab your energy. But if there's nothing to reciprocate, then it becomes a liability. Mm. Every transaction, every relationship has to be reciprocal.
But at the same time, for me, it don't even have to be the knowledge back to be reciprocated.
Right.
Or the... Just reciprocation, period. I just want you to
be respectful to my time.
Right. Yeah, that balancing out that energy. Yeah. I gave you energy. Yeah. You gave me the right energy back.
Exactly, because I don't want nobody to hear this and be like, oh, you know, he's talking about he don't even have conversations with nobody. It's more like, if I'm going to have a conversation, let's make this something.
Yeah.
Let's not have, like, pointless conversations where we can't benefit each other in this situation.
Right.
Right? We can shoot the shit and just, like, talk whatever, but it has to be an enjoyable moment.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I just think you can't force yourself onto people.
Absolutely.
There's, like, DM etiquette. People force their stories onto you. You understand me?
All the time.
It's like, you didn't even say what's up first. Yeah. You didn't give me a chance to engage. You know what I'm saying? All of a sudden, your life in the dumps, and I just started reading this. I got to cut this off.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? Click the link in the bio. I always tell people, the best place to ask me a question is during a consultation.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna use that.
That's the best place to ask me a question. I'm gonna answer it every time. I promise you, I got time however long the consultation is.
Yeah, I'm gonna use that.
You know what I'm talking about? And we could go all day long, you can extend it. What's popping?
Yeah.
But that's respectful of person's time, energy, and knowledge.
Yeah.
So one of the characteristics of, you know, successful people is the value of knowledge, getting the necessary information and knowledge to complete your goals.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way you can do anything in the world. Just get the knowledge.
Yeah.
It's there. It exists.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? What's a book you're reading right now or have read?
Man, the book I'm reading right now is Influence. I love that book.
Mm.
Influence. But I got my top books is Richest Man in Babylon. Of course, the Bible is, you know, the business Bible is Think and Grow Rich.
Mm.
How to Win Friends and Influence People. Alchemist. 4-Hour Work Week. I mean, Who Stole My Cheese?
You starting a book club, right?
I just started it today.
Okay, solid.
Yeah, I just started today. So I have a list of all the most recommended books by billionaires.
Yeah.
And that's my whole spiel. We're going to read what the billionaires are reading, right? And we're going to think like the minds of a billionaire.
Mm.
And we're going to get everybody focused. If y'all want to be on their level, you got to read what they read.
Right.
You know, you got to think how they think. Exactly. This is what's getting them there.
When
you got to get on that same frequency.
When I was 19 years old, this is what got me to only want to read applicable information and knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
I had a court case and I got locked up. I was in like Iowa or something. They locked me up and they was extraditing me from Iowa to California on an assault case. So I remember when I was in Iowa, I started reading this book that they had available. And it was just like a storybook. And it was super vivid. I had celebrity characters for the people that played out like a movie. It was real nice.
Yeah.
But after I was done reading it, I was like, all right, that didn't do nothing to help me gain my freedom. I'm still locked up and I'm still in this jail cell.
Mm-hmm.
So once I was extradited to California and we were standing trial, my older brother started giving me a couple of books that I should read.
Mm-hmm.
And it was things about The Art of Deception and Socrates, but he was giving me things that was speaking about the legalese of the court system and how things were broken down.
Mm-hmm.
So I started reading those books and it gave me tactics to apply while we was in court.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, fast forward, they get to the verdict, not guilty. Mm-hmm. And after that, I never wanted to read information and knowledge that I couldn't apply towards keeping my freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So now I haven't read a storybook since.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has to, in some intent, I can utilize it somewhere. Even if it's just in a conversation, that I can create more connections because I broadened my, you know, expansion or whatever.
Yeah.
So that to me is an advice for anybody is that if you don't have what you want, either you don't have the discipline to go get it or you don't have the knowledge you need in order to obtain it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So ignorance is always going to be a downfall of and apply to the poor man. That's one of the greatest resources you can have. Frederick Douglass said, you know, knowledge makes a man unfit to be a slave. So you a slave to the things you don't know. Ignorance is a master. You know what I'm talking about? So I just implore everybody, because I don't care who I talk to in the world, it's what they know that got them what they have.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And their ability to maintain and advance throughout life. Do you see yourself retiring, becoming satisfied, or?
Nah. It's because it's not about business.
Mm.
Right? It's about me being successful, me helping people. It's like Warren Buffett, he's still working.
Yeah.
But it's not work to him. This is what he loves to do. It ain't really work. It's like, this is what I love to do. I would do it for free.
Right.
You tell me, hey, Spec, like, grow my social media followers. Like, if it really wasn't like a business for me, and you like expect like I ain't got no money, and it's like, all right, I gotta help you rebuilding, I might just do that shit for free. Right? It's because it don't really matter. I like to see my numbers grow, and I like to come up with things to make people hit the follow button, and like just the psychological, you know, ways people move, and like making sure I can exercise that, and like, oh, let me see if this is gonna work. Like, those are the things that I like, right? Yeah. And like, even like business, leading a team and motivating them and seeing them, you know, transition from being shy to all of a sudden they're killing it on the calls. Like, my sales guy today, he closed 4 leads today for $2,000 a piece.
Yeah.
He's just one. I got 13 sales guys.
Yeah.
So, like, just to see somebody like killing shit like that.
Right.
Right. And then the day before, he closed 2 at night at 11 o'clock, my team left. He closed like 2 leads, right? And my other person don't even do such. She closed the lead.
Yeah.
Right? I was just like, let me see what you got. Get on the phone. Yeah. Boom. Close. $2,000. $6,000 in 1.5 hours. Just to see that, pulling the potential out of people, because the average person don't see their potential. It takes somebody like me or you or like people at this table to be like, yo, this is your potential. Go for it. Motivate them, because a lot of people just don't have the motivation in them.
True.
So I like to see people grow. I like to see my bank account grow. Right. I like to see things that people felt was impossible and make it possible. If I told you 20 years ago, somebody can make a cat, one of the famous animals on the planet, and make millions of people post an ugly face online, and it's going to be worth $100 million, you would have told me, get the fuck out of my house. What you talking about? Yeah,
definitely.
20 years later, grumpy cat, $100 million net worth off of me.
Right. And even on that, what was the child? Who was the child that do the game reviews or toy reviews?
Yeah, the little 17-year-old kid or something like that. Little kid.
Yeah.
Like $20-something million.
The game has definitely changed as far as your innovation towards entrepreneurship and your routes and your opportunities.
Yeah.
You spoke about being rebellious. In school, not going with the technical way things are done.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that as a common thread with people, especially who are successful in this social media age, is that there's technical thinking and abstract thinking, right? So when you do things technical, you go that route things are technically was made for. Like if I ask you, I say, Spec, can you draw this? And you draw it perfect to the T, that just requires technique. It requires no creativity. But if you went in and you painted in and it had like, it was gold and some silver here. You would still, it'd be abstract, but you would still capture the feeling of what it is. Today's entrepreneurs are the ones that they are rebellious in the technical ways of doing things. You know what I mean? You telling me this is a photo sharing app? Nah, I'm going to abstract my own way of getting it done. You telling me TikTok is this? Let me figure out this way of doing it. That thinking in school is like, nah, teacher, what about this? You asking these questions. Creative capacity is everything right now.
Yeah, it's it's just like my book club. I launched a book club. My employee straight up told me, came up when I said what I wanted to do. She was like, oh, book clubs usually do one book.
Yeah.
I said, that's why we doing two.
Yeah.
And book clubs usually pick a random book or whatever, however they do it. Guess what? My book club, we want billionaire most recommended books. Yeah. So my shit ain't regular.
Right.
You want to come to my book club, you're going to read what billionaires read.
Right.
And you ain't going to read one book, you're going to read two books.
Exactly.
And if you want to read one book, then you're going to hear about the second book when we talk about the book review.
Yeah.
And we going to read on Zoom.
Yeah.
That's my shit.
Yeah.
So I ain't going the typical route. So you want to come to Spectacular Book Club, that's what you got to do.
And it's a lot of people that just know the technique route because they've been taught school, everything to do technical thinking, memorization techniques.
Yeah.
So when it comes to the real world, they can't innovate at all. You get a product and they need instructions on how things need to be done in order for them to utilize it.
And sometimes I have a conversation with my entrepreneur friends and they say sometimes it's better for me not had a job before. I don't even know how that's how you say it, but never have a job before because I'm not used to the cookie cutter, right? So my shit everywhere because I never had a job. I don't know, like, I don't know if I'm pressuring you too much. I don't know, like, how I feel to come clock in every day on time.
You start experimenting what's right. I'm going there thinking you know.
Exactly. I'm just going off of how I feel. You know, how I feel and what I think
because
I don't have a system to go off of. So, off of me, from me not having a job, I'm doing it the way I feel like it should be done.
It's more instinctual and creative.
Exactly. Man. So, and just even go back to like people being cookie cutter in the school system, being horrible, not teaching the shit that we need to know. That's exactly why I created my academy. And that's why you was like, you know, the things that you're doing now, it's like thinking ahead. That's me thinking ahead. Right now, I got over 900 students. I started a few months ago. And now my academy, Spectacular Academy, changed the name from Avatar Academy. And then we basically made it where it's everything you need to know to start a successful business and run a successful business. How you have credit, how you get over $40,000 line of credit with no credit, how you take the current credit you got and sell it and you have people pay you for your own credit, how you get people, how you actually have, you know, learn how to sell through personalities, because your personality is different than his personality is different than his personality. So I'm not going to sell the same way to each one of y'all. I'm going to tailor it to your personality. Right. We teach you how to do that, how to build relationships from using that. The same skills that we're teaching in there is the same skills I implement in my life that changed the way I think and perceive people to know what type of person they are. You know, that's in the program. Operations, what's running my whole business in the operation, it's called EOS, Entrepreneur Operational System. We teach that whole system on how to have accountability, how to make sure that your employees feel like they're the owner of the company and owner of their departments, making sure that you have goals and projections, going over issues, you know, identifying and solving those issues, discussing those issues, coming up with a solve with your leadership team. We talk about branding, how to build your social media, take it to the next level, going viral, because you're one viral video away.
The viral is the hit.
That's it.
Lauryn Hill's still torn off one album.
Exactly. All that stuff is what you need for a successful business. And so that's why I created my academy. So people can actually come in and actually learn this. And I do a little free training, whatever, helpmegoviral.com. Go catch a free training. And then go there. And then I do a free training. Okay. You catch on, I might be in enrollment right now, I might not. If you catch it, get in. If you don't, then whatever.
Yeah.
And then that people that are coaching don't know how to get financing. So I have a finance partner that I'd approve up to 80% to 90% of the people. So you automatically get in up to $10,000 line of credit right off the bat. So you got no excuse. All you got to do is be willing to put the work and effort in, and my team is going to hold your hand. You get to talk to me for your intro call, and I'll walk you through the whole shit, coach you right off the bat. And you got support 24/7. So there's no excuse. And all of my actual students, literally 90% of them is black females. They want it. They get it. So I'm like, all right, cool. If y'all want it, y'all get it. I'm going to support you. I'm going to give you all the tools, everything you need. You need to learn about credit. You need to learn about operations, sales, marketing, Facebook ads. Go. I'm going to give you the masters. And not only I'm teaching, my team is teaching, but I got millionaires teaching it. Niggas that made millions off of sales. Niggas that made millions off of Facebook ads. Niggas that made millions off of credit. That's what teaching in the program.
You know, if in school, if all our teachers were millionaires, we would have paid a kind of different attention.
Absolutely.
Then they would have only be giving us the smarts.
They wouldn't have been teaching us some shit that you can write in a book and just make it evergreen.
Everybody been millionaires if all your teachers were millionaires.
Listen to this. School. Do you know why schools was even invented in the first place? You probably know.
Yeah, for workers.
It's for workers.
Of course,
so,
man.
So they basically needed somewhere for their kids to go. So they're like, what can we do? So they created what's called a school. They created the school, and they created a curriculum to keep them busy. So when they get out of school, they come work back for the factories.
Right.
That's what. That's all it was.
Right.
That's why if you go all the way through school, you ain't learned shit.
Right.
What the fuck did I just learn?
Right.
You literally, I could have taught 1 hour. The training that's in my program is 1 hour. But you're going to walk away with $40,000 line of credit just off an hour. So you mean to tell me I've been in school for 12 years and all you had to do is teach me some shit for 1 hour?
But think how beautiful that is today, right?
Isn't that crazy?
When there's a problem, entrepreneur solves it. So luckily, the school system created a business for everybody.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because we looked at all of the gaps. We know what they didn't teach us. So we said, oh, I'm going to fill this, that, and the third.
Yeah.
So once you do that for somebody, like, bruh, you just taught me more than my school taught me in 20 years.
And that's exactly what they said. I literally had somebody say, I'm right now, I have my bachelor's degree in marketing, and I learned more in this than in my school.
Yeah.
What? And she paid $50,000 for her school.
Yeah. And then couldn't use the education to get out of debt.
and she's in debt. I say, listen, not only I'm going to finance you, I'm going to show you how to save on taxes. I'm going to show you what's the difference between a profit and loss, a balance statement, all this shit. Like, niggas don't know this shit.
Right.
What's a balance sheet? What the hell is a balance sheet? What is a balance? Boom, we're going to teach you that. Yeah. And you ain't not teaching it from somebody. You're getting taught by somebody who's making millions off of finance. Mm-hmm. That's who's teaching you. He's the CFO, and he has a CFO company that's the CFO for all the fast-growing companies in America. That's who's teaching you, right? And we teach you all these skill sets. Like, it's one strategy in my program that I save $15,000 on taxes on that one strategy. 15 grand. I'm like, damn, that easy? Boom, that boom, got it. Now, my students are doing the same shit. So, like, honestly, people like to talk about what ain't right, but they don't do shit about it. Mm-hmm. So I say, you know what? I'm not that type of person. Yeah,
solution-based thinking.
Solution-based. I was like, I'm going to come up with a program.
Everybody problem-based. Though, and I'm going to go ahead and make it go crazy. Itself. Because people are addicted to the problem, so they get fixated in it, and the problem becomes the excuse if they don't have it. So it's be like, you know what? I can't do anything. That's just the problem. This new group of influencers today that said, no, we'll give you all the solutions.
Yeah.
You got to be, that's why it just thinking is that we got to be so grateful for all of the problems because it created such an extreme need and value for the solution-based thinkers and executors.
Yeah.
Like, when I have consultations with people sometimes, you know, I'm a speaker, but that's not where I pay my bills. Mm. You know what I mean? I make products. I create businesses. Mm-hmm. So when I be speaking with people about business, branding, and marketing, they be like, oh, shit. Because I be like, yo, you want to talk about the conscious stuff, but this is what you need. Right, right. Like, you want to indulge in conscious junk food. I can indulge in that because I can afford it. But also, I got the time to go be able to do it. You don't have time. You got to pay to pay your bills.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Your son is hungry. Yeah. You don't know how, you know what I mean, your next card note is going to get through. You don't have a foreseeable future. Mm-hmm. So first, you got to come up with a business plan for your life.
Yeah.
Once you get your business down, you can indulge and the deepness of the world, quantum consciousness, if you want to. You can go deal with the politics and the problems. But first, you got to learn to manage your business. That's an act of manhood. Take care of your business at self and home first. Yeah. So it'd be like, people want me to wear their clothes. I'm like, nah, let me consult you about your business. Because for one, I don't like it. So for one, you should ask a person first, do you even like my business? Mm. You know what I mean? But I would say, if you want somebody to be that you admire and you look up to, get a consultation from that person.
Yeah.
Get in their school, their program.
That's how you get their attention.
This is how you learn what they know, so you don't even need them.
Yes.
Once you learn what they know, you can stand on side of them.
The funniest thing is people don't even get that. It's so easy, bro. You want to get somebody's attention? Become a customer.
Yeah. Hey, that's my quote. Best way to flirt with entrepreneurs, with a receipt.
Ooh. That's a shirt. Yeah,
yes, damn, something about that receipt caught my attention.
Exactly.
Oh, like, I just supported you. Thank you so much. Oh, I appreciate you. You gonna reply to that.
Always.
Yeah. We got a relationship satisfaction now. You just start a relationship with me as soon as you buy something. Off the back,
but people automatically like, oh, you don't talk to me, you too good. No, like, you telling me to help you and mentor you, but I have a mentor program.
Right.
Pay the fee, and now you got access to me. Like, and you got access to my team.
Right.
And the crazy part is my mentor program is $97 a month.
Yeah.
I can't make it no more affordable. Yeah. You just, like, already that's a joke, but I want to make it where you at least got some skin in the game, because people that pay attention, no matter how small it is,
right,
you still pay. If I pay a dollar for something, I paid a dollar for this. Let me see what this is about. I'm gonna pop that in. Let me hear this, man.
If something is free, people think of it as not having value.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So I don't have free time. I only have valuable time. Somebody hit you got free time? No, I don't. It ain't nothing free about it. This is all valuable. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it just trains people to respect the time that you do get with. Because if I know I'm only getting 30 minutes of your valuable time, I'm gonna make sure that we utilize this time. Yeah, I mean, in some valuable way.
Yeah.
So I know you got to get out of here, but I just had two questions for you. One, or not even a question, but you can, you know, go off on this one. If you could give advice, because you're a black father and you have a strong son, you slap my hand. You know what I'm talking about? You say I'm the strongest kids you ever met. Yeah, I mean, and that's powerful. That's good for that to be like, yo, I'm messing with another energy. I'm gonna establish my strength. Yeah, you know what I mean, every child ain't got that. Some of them just be, they don't move. Mm. Black fatherhood is important. You just talked about how it was important in your life. just through different transitions. What have you learned as being a black father, and can you grant some advice to other fathers?
Yeah.
That's growing a young black boy in this world.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, honestly, for me, it's just really back to growth, right? The same way you need to come up with a personal growth plan. A lot of people create business plan, but nobody got a personal growth plan. Mm. Like, how are you going to expand your mind, right? And if you can catch them at a young age and get them to read three core books, it needs to be mindset, because mindset is what stops people from getting them and achieving what they need in life. That's what's holding them back mentally. They got handcuffs on their brain, on their mind, on their potential. It's holding them back. The worst thing you want to do is go to heaven and realize that, damn, God is like, this is who you could have became. And you're like, damn, I could have been him. That's what a lot of people are going through right now, because they didn't take the chance. They didn't take the jump. Mm. They didn't go and go all out, double down on their potential. They too busy working for the next man.
Right.
You know, building their dreams.
Right.
I'd rather try and fail and try and try and fail, and then like, all right, I try, and I'll go back. You know, but at least I try. Like, right. At least I try. So I just try to instill that into my kids' head, you know, just read these books, you know, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Think and Grow Rich, Richest Man in Babylon. Give me those three. You give me those three, your whole mindset gonna change at a young age. And that's all I need. Richest Man in Babylon, I'm going to teach him how to manage money, how not to put yourself in certain situations and predicaments, and know how to, you know, utilize that. Making sure you can keep your money and making sure it's compounding. Think and Grow Rich is going to teach you how to have that millionaire mindset. And that's going to teach you how to maneuver in this world and gain riches and when you need it, and really understanding the mindset of rich people and how to take it to the next level. Rich Dad, Poor Dad is going to show you, you know, Rich Dad, all right, cool, this is how he think. Poor Dad, this is how he think. You know, you're always a victim. Point the finger at people. Rich Dad is like, oh, it's my fault. You take the ownership of it. You make sure you double down on what's supposed to be done, and you go execute on it. You know, it's my fault. Let me make sure, how could I did that better? The glass is never half empty. It's always half full. Mm-hmm. You know, you can see a beneficial moment. You can find some beneficial in every situation, in every moment. The worst things that happen, and it's always a lesson in that one thing that happened. Always. It's always a counterpunch. If somebody go and punch you dead in your shit, guess what? It's wide open for something else to counter and knock that shit back out his ass every single time. It's like, what can I think? What just happened? What can I take out of this? Prime example, my business. I was making millions of dollars in my business. It's my first year I hit $2 million. And the year before, I think I was at like 80,000, right? Hit 2 million, and all of a sudden, Facebook changed some shit. Boom. Dropped my money down by 80% in one freaking month. But I seen it coming. And I was like, damn. I pivot, and I transition to something else.
Yeah.
And then I realized, like, damn, this is where I should have been in the first place. This is the scalable model. Boom. Back up, Pretty Ricky. Go flat broke. I never made the $20,000 I made, my dad made me pay bills with that. So I didn't even make no money off of Pretty Ricky. Yeah. Literally zero, right? So let's say zero. That made me understand that money ain't shit. I don't give a fuck about money. It's not about money to me. I can lose everything. I can go sleep on the couch. It don't faze me. I don't care. I lose everything, I'm not killing myself.
Right.
I'm about to go get that shit back. Give me 2 years, and then give me a year. Give me 6 months. I just know how to do it better. So it's back to mindset, right? So it's like, okay, I took an L on Pretty Ricky, but guess what? It turned me into a real fucking businessman. If I would have still been a Pretty Ricky, I probably still would have been living with my dad, trying to make family work.
Checking them streams.
You get what I'm saying? So I got punched dead in my face, but the counter punch with me being a businessman. No, now I'm on Forbes. Now I got the fastest growing company in America.
Right.
18 million companies. My company number 262. Imagine seeing 18 million companies in line and my shit from the front of the line, my shit number 262 out of 18 million. Who the fuck could say that?
Mm.
For the second year, my company hit the best privately held companies in America from Entrepreneur 360 Award, which is the hardest award to get, even more than the Inc. 5000 Award, because it's based on innovation, it's based on impact, it's based on revenue, it's based on leadership.
Talk that. He started hitting, I said, whoa, who am I standing next to? You know what I'm saying?
But that's the shit I'm talking about. Yes, sir. So at the end of the day, yeah, I took an L. But that was the lesson. It was a lesson. That was the L in that knowledge that you got. That was the lesson. That's what I heard Master P say. He say, yo, I ain't take an L. That was a lesson.
Yeah.
That's a lesson. And that's every single situation will show you what the lesson is in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You can every situation you can think that's negative, if you feel like it's negative, you can find a positive in that and make it something that can benefit you.
That's a pro mindset right there.
Yeah.
All right, last question. 2020, I think, is year of ownership. You know what I mean? Either you got to get on board one, ownership or slave ship.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me? I thought you was going to leave that there.
No.
I can't tell
you. You can, even if anybody use, they're going to give me the money back. So if y'all want to go crazy, you know, it don't even matter.
We get podcast supplies. All right. What is something that you want to own, you know what I mean, in life from your accomplishments? It could be land, it could be a car, it could be anything. What is something that you want to own throughout your life?
I mean, one of the things that I feel like I want to own is a house on Mars.
Well, so you really got to go talk to Elon.
Oh, me and him going to be friends. Yeah. Trust that. I'm putting it in the universe. We going to meet and we going to chop it up.
Yeah.
Trust that.
So you don't want land in Cali. Don't want it in Africa. Nah. He wanted it in Mars.
Because what's going to happen is we tan this earth up. We fucking it up. You seen Australia?
Mm-hmm. Would you take the trip?
Where?
To Mars.
Nigga, would I?
So it was available and they say, look, $500,000 for the trip. But you know it's a one-way trip. So you can't come back once you leave Mars?
Nah, I'm going to wait till they figure out how to come back. While I'm jumping up, I'm not a test dummy. Bro, listen, my phone's like, I need to jump out
there.
This is a brand new iPhone. I wait till they got iron out all the kinks, and then I go buy the phone.
Good.
That's me. So once you got at least a thousand people that came back, then I'm jumping off.
You don't realize how popping Earth is till you can't come back. I'm just saying.
We're going to figure it out, though.
All right. Last but not least. So House on Mars. Ask me one question.
One question.
Yeah.
If you was dead broke, you had $0 in your bank account, how would you get to $1 million in 12 months?
That's a yes, me, the question. Good question. I mean, because I'm not going to just bullshit with an answer. Flat broke. You got nothing at all. A person can only do what they know. You know what I mean? I can't come up with a fantastic answer to do anything outside my bounds. I don't even think whether it matters whether you flat broke. I think the same question just applies whether you got money or not, almost, because scaling something still requires you to scale it. Yeah,
the reason why I'm putting that into perspective, because a lot of people bank account is negative right now or overdraft. Like, how would you tell them how to get on their shit and, you know, start building that?
I mean, if something just happened and everything, I just lost everything, I would take the route first that you said. I was probably spending that first 3 months learning something. I would be studying a particular industry, whether it's figuring out how I can hack into these 500 million users on TikTok. You understand me? I'm going to figure out what particular industry going to get me there. And all the books that you start to name, they're always talking about if you want to get that money, you have to have something in order to exchange for it. I can create that $1 million goal, but first I need that $1 million plan. You know what I mean? So first I'll just spend that first 3 months figuring out what plan that or what can I scale, what can I hack. But I'll just spend that first 3 months getting that information. Knowledge is the most important thing you can trade. always tell people, I don't make money. I get in the flow of money. The U.S. Treasury makes money. You understand me? Everybody around me has money. Then all I got to do is figure out what can I exchange for the money that you made. Because you got money in order to spend it in the first place. So I just need to figure out a product or a service that I can get into that's scalable. You know what I mean? And I ain't going to tell you something super tangible. I might just start Goldwater. You feel me? And then figure out who want to get some of these and sell a million of these. I mean, I wouldn't even have to sell a million, 5,000, whatever it takes to get me to that $1 million. But I don't know. I would just study the market first. I couldn't answer that question in some $1 million scheme because that's not how my brain thinks.
Yeah, well, that's how my brain thinks. The easiest way to do this is join the Spectacular Academy. You got no money. If you go ahead and get the loan for me, you're going to get approved automatically. Get $10,000 up front. Join my Entrepreneur MBA program. Learn from me. Get mentored. And then you make the put the time and effort in $1 million later in 12 months. That's what you should have said.
Well, I never been in the Spectacular Academy. Right,
so that sounds like something needs to happen. I got hit in my next meeting, bro. Man, you got another question?
No. That was all. I just appreciate you for tapping in.
Bro. I got you, man. And we gonna connect more, though, bro.
Yes, sir. This is a 19 Keys podcast. Make sure you tap in. I appreciate you. This one has been sponsored by Goldwater and Crown's Oil.
Hey,
tapped in.
Spectacular Academy.
Yes, sir.
Right now, get that thing. Let's go.
I'm going to tell you how I'm about to get this million. I'm going to put an affiliate link at the bottom.
Yeah, and we'll give it to you, too.
And listen, this is how we going to get it.
And I'm going to put this on camera. You get 50% of all sales from this podcast.
Done deal.
Easy.
Tap in.
All
right, back up. That's
what
I'm talking about. Yo, that's
good. That's
good stuff, huh?
That was good.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all was fucking with it?
Yeah.
What's
your name?
Samaj.
Samaj. Samaj.
I ain't
for sure, bro.
Samaj.
He's from
Samaj. Oh, my.
I
go by Pop.
Pop?
Yeah.
Pop.
Okay. Is 97 for your bro? Bro?
My mentorship program. So my Entrepreneur MBA program is $2,000.
$2,000.
But we do the financing and everything for it. So it's actually, if you pretty much get the money, you got 6 months to pay it back with no interest.
That's $2,000.
$2,000.
There's gonna be a link in the bio of the podcast. You can click and get started.
You get 50%. That man gonna get that one cake.
Man, first of all, you press play it?
Nah.
Man, first of all, my good brother, I want to appreciate you. You done parted us with all of the keys and knowledge we need for 2020 to tap in. Man, so I present you this crown, my brother. I met you first through social media, and then we tapped into real life. Your energy is still there, and it's real. I know you've been on Forbes. I know you've been on all sorts of different magazines. But when you get that crown, it's another level. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm saying? Continue to stay on that mission and teach the people.
Yes, sir. And I'm dressed right for it.
Yeah, super dressed.
The right color.
You know what I'm talking about? Peace. We tapped in. Thank you, my brother. What's up? What you want to do with the group, man? I mean, I know everybody. It's a lot of elements.
What you mean for the group?
With the, the Telegram.
Oh, yeah. No, so. Shit, just my business just went crazy. Oh shit, I'm even 4 minutes away. I'm Gucci.
Oh, yeah.
I thought I was about to be late. Shit, all right, we right there. All right, back. What is this though?
Gold water. It's colloidal gold. So you drink it, it electrifies your body. Okay, you know what I mean? In your mind, focus, stimulates your brain, the whole 9 yards.
All right, back.
Yes, sir.
All right, so what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna give you the affiliate link. We're gonna run that.
Yeah, let's do that. Because you were selling in there. I said, well, this man is selling right now. Let me just let him go. He is this brother is good. Listen, man.
You done threw the crown on me and in the middle of me walking. Yeah. Out. Oh, my
hey,
God.
Wait a minute, brother.
Hey, you thought I see the hustle?
I got all that advice.
I respect the hustle shit. Oh,
yeah, man.
You gotta respect.
We blessed, as you can see, we tapped in, man.
Hey, right here, this is where it's at. Electrify your body, baby. This is the right water. When you drink this, your whole body get the chills. Why? Because it's electrifying your brain, your mind. Take it to the next level.
Man, tap all the way in. For real, though, my brother. How you enjoy that podcast?
Oh, man, it was great, man. Got so much information. I need to talk to Spec right now. Matter of fact.
Man, you gotta wait to click the link in the bio, my brother. You see how good that was? They all wanted to buy from you. That's how you know it was good.
You gotta sell that shit. But honestly, I'm just believing my product, man. I got over an hour worth of testimonials of all my students just talking about how good that shit is. And after my training sessions, I just play that shit. That's why my sales guy went crazy. Like, he just, nigga, so.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.